And that's where we're going to begin next Sunday night, Lord willing. And we're going to look at the distinct description of the church. And let me just whet your appetites right at the beginning of the book of Acts. I'm going to bring you in high speed across the entire ministry of Christ and zoom right into the book of Acts. The Lord Jesus came at the appropriate time. God sent Christ. Christ lived in obscurity for 30 years while his cousin bloomed 6 months before he did. John the Baptist and heralded him, and then all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared one day. He was baptized. He began his 3.5 years of ministry. He ministered. He died. He rose from the dead. He stayed for 40 days, and he ascended. Now, what's interesting is that the Lord was so concerned that the church start properly that from the day of his resurrection to the inauguration of the church was 50 days. Little biblical chronology here. From Christ's ascension at Passover to Pentecost, Pentecost, 50 days, Christ stayed 40 of them on earth to make sure they got it together before he left. 10 days before the church was born, Christ ascended, began his work on high of intercession while those men and women prayed and waited. And on the exact moment of God's choosing, the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, he sent his Spirit. Remember I said that the church was chosen by God sovereignly. And the church is disciplined by Christ, but it's equipped by the Spirit. And on that moment, God sent his Spirit down and breathed life and fullness of all the giftedness needed into that church. Well, the book of Acts begins in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Acts says that they all were of one mind, continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so we find this group, and by the time you turn over to chapter 2, and you can do that, to verse 37, you see things are really moving along fast in the church. And this little prayer meeting of the apostles and some friends and 120 people had the Spirit poured out upon them, and Peter comes out, and Mr. Foot and Mouth becomes Mr. Tremendous Evangelist, and he starts preaching. And verse 37 of chapter 2 says, when they heard this, they were pierced in their heart. And Peter said to them, why don't you just add Jesus to your life, right? Don't change anything. Is that what he says in verse 38? Oh, excuse me. I was reading from Newsweek. It says, and Peter said to them, repent. You notice that the start of the church starts right on the note of repentance. And that's really crucial, especially now that the debate is on about easy believism and not easy believism. Right from the start, repentance and submission to Christ as Lord is always in the message. And he says, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin that you shall receive, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And then if you wonder whether or not the baptism washed away their sins, look at verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized. The baptism didn't wash away the sin. The receiving of the word and the repentance is how Christ took away their sin. It wasn't the water. And they were added that day, verse 41, 3,000 souls. So what a bang. It starts off, and verse 42 says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. Whew. There, that's the whole Gospels and Acts in one paragraph. It sounds great, doesn't it? Wouldn't you like to have been in that church? I mean, to have Christ just 10 days ago having left the earth and have Peter preaching a whammo sermon and 3,000 people come in one day. So now we have 3,120 in the church in one day. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there and had this shared mind, the continual devoting of ourselves to the apostles' teaching? And there wouldn't have been any questions because they were there to teach it. And to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to wonderful prayer. And look at verse 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Wouldn't it be nice every time you came to church to feel a sense of awe that the Lord is in this place and he is working? Well, things kind of changed over the years, haven't they? The more removed we get from that, the more we wonder how they did that. Well, how do we rekindle that? How did it happen? Well, let me briefly say this. Beginning next week, we're going to look, first of all, at the concept of a shared life as it's shown in the book of Acts. Seven times in this book, we find that they were of one accord. And we're going to see what they were of one accord in and what they really focused on. And once we see that, we're going to dive into all of the epistles and find a unique group of words. And it's really going to be a wonderful study. Paul the Apostle wanted us to understand how the church functioned and how to keep this blessed shared life together. And so he made up some very unique words. What he did is he took a preposition, the preposition soon, sigma upsilon nu, which means with or together or fellow. And he took that preposition and he slapped it on no less than nine key words to describe Christians. And he painted for us word pictures, first of all, of how we are to live in the world. How are we sharing a life in Christ supposed to live out there? And I'm glad he started there because that's the most difficult place for us. That's the place we're most aware of, right? We don't have any trouble functioning in the church. It's out there that we wonder what we're supposed to do sometimes. But how we're supposed to live in the world, how we're supposed to be, that's our outward ministry, how we're supposed to be serving in the body, that's what our task is here at Quid Nescit. And finally, how we're supposed to pursue Christ-likeness. And that's really going to be thrilling, those three aspects. So, the church is sovereignly formed by God, directly commissioned with a purpose, and distinctly described in how we operate. That's what we're going to look at in the coming weeks. And as we do so, I pray that the Lord will lay on each of our hearts what we are to do to fulfill our part, how we are to respond to one another, how we are to rejoice in the fact that God has supernaturally, sovereignly called us. What a wonderful relationship that is. He's adopted us in his family. How we are to fulfill that commission. And beginning next week, how we're supposed to act to one another. It's going to be a wonderful study. In fact, I believe in all the scriptures, there are no more vivid descriptions through word pictures that I've ever seen than how Paul describes the working together of the body of Christ.